Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
This one's going to be tough, man. It's not a great system. From my rankings, they are 28th.
Oh, yeah, that's not fun.
No, but they do have one guy at the top that's a stud.
Yes, they do, and he's going to be, I think, pretty relevant this year. So for those of you playing in redraft leagues, this is a guy that you may want to think about taking a flyer on late in your drafts.
Right. We might as well jump into Keston Hira now. It's one of the rare things where the team's near – well, I'll go ahead and say it. The team's major league-ready top prospect fits like a glove onto the big league team. Mm-hmm. They haven't addressed the second base spot. And if they don't, I'm actually fine with it because Hira doesn't really need to go to AAA, in my opinion. The Arizona Fall League can kind of act like his AAA, if you want to play it like that. He is obviously the MVP of the Fall League. Everyone saw how complete of a hitter he was. I'm not saying he's Mookie Betts because he's not, but he gives you that vibe in the box. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is plate coverage. A shorter stature guy with surprising pop, right? A lot of 34 doubles and 5 triples to go with the 13 home runs he hit in Double A. 293, 357, 464 slash with 6.7 walk percentage and 19.3% K rate, and he even stole 15 bags. He's just an advanced guy. There's not a weak spot in his game, and I think he has potential to be a 70 hit, 60 power guy, and that's a fantastic player. He's not going to win a gold glove at second base, but the Brewers obviously don't care about that. I think they played Travis Shaw at second base last year. So
They put up with Jonathan VR for a long time at second base.
Right, and so that's not a concern of theirs. And, you know, the one thing we do need to address with Keston Hira is kind of the elephant in the room with the elbow injury he had at UC Irvine, which requires Tommy John surgery. He's never had it, though. After getting drafted, the Brewers put him – they didn't play him, but they put him on a throwing program and an arm-strengthening program. And while it's appeared to have worked, he never had that surgery. It's hard to – you know, I'm not the person to ask if I think he's going to or not. I'm not in the business of projecting this. But I guess that's always got to be in the back of the mind, right? I mean – but he's such a good hitter, and Miller Park is such an offensive park. And he doesn't look like it, but he's, you know, he's only 5'11 listed, so he's probably 5'9", 5'10", to be honest, in reality. He's still a middle-of-the-order hitter just because of how good he is. I think he's a perfect number two hitter on a team like that. Could even hit third with high OBP guys like Kane and Yelich. If they hit 1-2 and you put here a 3, that's pretty nice. So I'm a really, really, really big fan of Hira, and I think in redraft for fantasy, I think you can get him. If you can take a late-round pick on him and like a draft and hold, you're going to have to pay up a little bit. But like in your standard, you know, 12 to 15 team league, get him with one of your last 3 picks and see if you can roster him. That'd be great because I think he's going to hit, and I think he's going to provide some major league value when he comes up instantly.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think he's one of those guys that we should expect to see up by May 1st. So I hope so.
The Brewers, I
think the reason why they didn't address second base is because they have Hira.
Right, and I was reading something that I forget who just signed. So LeMahieu and then like Jed Lowry and stuff. All those guys wanted multi-year deals, and the Brewers aren't doing that for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. So
and Hira is currently in NFBC leagues is going about 369.
Perfect.
So yeah, perfect spot for him.
Yep, and I would take him. I'm comfortable taking him any pick after about 330.
Yeah, I think even after 300, I'm willing to take a shot.
Yep. For fantasy, the system is much different than it would be on like a reality list. For fantasy, the number two guy for me is a major league ready outfielder, Troy Stokes Jr. And if you go down to my, it's really strange because if you go down to a real-life Brewers list, he's 11th for me. That's because of the defensive value. He doesn't offer any. But he just missed his second straight 2020 season in the minors. He had 19 homers and 19 steals. So how pissed do you think he was the last game of the year? He ended up with that in Double A. 233, 343, 430, 19 homers, 11% walk rate, 26% K rate, and 19 stolen bases in Double A. I think in the big league level, I think he can hit 20 to 25 homers and 15 to 20 steals. Stokes sells out to pull side raw power. He knows his game, and that's what he does. Hits the ball in the air a lot, and he pulls the ball a lot. It's a pull heavy fly ball approach that has changed his prospect projection. In 2017, he had 20 career homers to his name entering the year, and he hit 20 plus last year and 19 this year. So he's obviously made significant changes. The strikeout rate is always going to be high. I don't think you can ever count on him being a high batting average guy because you hit the ball in the air, it's going to drive your average down. You pull the ball a lot, you're going to be easy to shift against. Defensively, he doesn't have a playable arm in the outfield. So that's why he doesn't offer any defensive utility. I kind of hope this guy gets like traded to like the Orioles or something, so then he can just play. Because the Brewers in their competitive window, I don't see Stokes breaking into everyday playing time because of the defensive limitations. But he's an intriguing fantasy player, and he should be in line for a late season call up. I'm just not sure if he provides enough at bats this year for that. Next up on my list is Corey Ray. If you are in a, you know, obviously if you're in a dynasty league, you know the people you're playing against, right? You know their strengths and weaknesses. If you have a guy in your dynasty league that scouts the stat line for minor league baseball, trade them Corey Ray. 239, 323, 477 with 27 homers and 37 stolen bases. So you can see why, you know what I mean? It's a really good skill set on paper. You dig into the batting stance, the batting approach, it's not great. 30% K rate nearly at Double A is not good. I don't think you can project anything over a below average hit tool, and that obviously is going to play into the stolen bases. And has a 10% walk rate, so he does walk, but I can see that kind of disappearing at the upper levels, Triple A, and in the big leagues especially. And the weird thing, too, is he's a center fielder, but he lacks the instincts to play a strong center fielder at the big league level. I saw a comp to like a Chris Taylor, and I think that fits. Like, you know how Taylor was with the Mariners and couldn't get off the ground, and then he gets traded to the Dodgers, and there's a power outburst, which Ray's already got the raw power. He just can't get to it because of the hit tool. But Taylor's a center fielder just because that's the easiest spot to put him. He's not a really good defender out there, and that's kind of what Ray is. He's got above average speed, but you're looking at a guy who just lacks the instincts, lacks good jumps, bad angles. He he does have a really useful skill though in his stolen base success rate, 84% in college, 84% in pro ball. So I think he's found his sweet spot, right? I think he's a 30 stolen bag guy if he gets enough playing time, and that doesn't even matter if he has to hit. I think that's a realistic floor just because of how good he is on the base paths. So keep that in mind. Just don't expect anything from batting average department. Hopefully the walk rate stays above average, but I mean, you're looking at a big leaguer, I think 15 to 20 homers and 30 steals is possible, but it's all the hit tool, man. That's what's going to get in his way. And ultimately could derail him.
The 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide, the fantasy benefit, is the largest and most complete fantasy draft guide on the market. With featured writers from Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Baseball HQ, Baseball Prospectus, and Fangraphs, and many more, you will get tons of information on how to start your own league, draft strategies for roto, points, categories, NFBC, best ball, and DFS. There are tiers for every position, and 30 team previews, including 30 team prospect previews, breaking down the top prospects from each team, their ranks for every position, for prospects, for first-year player drafts. This is the most in-depth guide that fantasy baseball has to offer. And not only that, we'll be updating it all draft season in the ebook and PDF. You can get this on Amazon.com in ebook form for $7.50 or in paperback for $13.99. Don't want an ebook? Don't want a paperback? Just want a PDF? You can order it by emailing friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com, and I will send you an updated copy every week until the start of opening day. Get your 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit today.
Tristan Lutz is next. Is a prototypical right field profile, severe with big power and big throwing arm. That's about it, though. The hit tool's immature. Strikes out a lot. A real linear bat path. But he's got plus raw power when he gets to it. The thing I keep drawing back on, he's been in tough offensive environments throughout his pro ball career to this point, and will continue to be in one next year if he goes to the Carolina League. But follow Lutz, because if you're not saying he's Aaron Judge, but take a look at Aaron Judge's power numbers in the minor leagues. They weren't great either. It's kind of a similar skill set here. He's got the plus build as well. Not nearly as athletic. He's an average runner underway. And he does have a strong arm, prototypical right fielder. But so don't close the book on Lutz. But it's an intriguing profile. Joe Gray Jr. is the top draft pick for fantasy in this game. You've seen this profile a million times before. For everyone that turns into a useful fantasy guy, there's like 10 more that don't. But he's got plus power, plus speed with a questionable hit tool. So you know the dangers and the perils of investing significantly in Gray. But you've seen it pay off, and he's got upside to be a top five round fantasy choice. But he's also got the downside of never being drafted in fantasy drafts, redraft form. So keep that in mind. Bryce Turang is next. He used our first round pick this year. Bat to ball profile here. Really good OBP as well. Not a lot of power. Should hit for a good average, and should steal 20 plus bags at shortstop. Really good glove. Cole Tucker, Lucius Fox, we've mentioned those guys. Turang kind of fits into that ball right there. Mauricio Dubon had tore his ACL last year. Should be back. Hyper-aggressive guy. Good enough glove to stick at shortstop, but again, Turang's there. RC is there. So he's going to have to develop a utility tool belt, and second base can be a good spot. Center field uses athleticism. Obviously, when you invest in a prospect built around speed that's coming off a torn ACL, you see the concerns and you understand the risks of what you're dealing with, but Dubon is an interesting guy there. Zach Brown is a future number four starter, or as the Brewers put it, future multi-inning reliever and first, and then our number four starter. They did that with Burns and Woodruff, and Burns and Woodruff have better arms than Brown, and they came in bullpen first, so I don't see any reason why Brown wouldn't get brought in the same way. Freddie Peralta also fits that mold. 92-94 two-seamer. That kid's ground balls out of University of Kentucky. Good changeup. Average should be average. Fills up. He's a strike thrower. And you look at Brown, while he doesn't have the upside of Burns and Woodruff, he can settle in as a number four guy. But he's going to be in the bullpen first. That's just how the Brewers do it. So don't expect him to get called up and start right away. Eduardo Garcia is a 16-year-old, but he's got a well-rounded skill set. He's a shortstop through and through. Really good glove. Promising hit tool. Aaron Ashby is the next prospect. If that last name sounds familiar, it's because his uncle was a longtime major league pitcher. So if you want to feel old, I think he played into the 2000s, to be honest with you. Andy Ashby. So if you want to feel a little old, here's his nephew. Left-handed pitcher. Added a tick or two. He was the top junior college player in this year's draft. Added a few ticks after entering the Brewers system. Funny story, I went to a couple of Midwest League games this year and sat in the scout section and watched a lot of games. Ashby was the talk of two of the games, and neither of the games involved the Brewers affiliate. Everyone was trying to see if people saw him because he was lighting up the Midwest League, put up really strong numbers. He's got a track. He's not the player that he was in junior college. He's added some few ticks to the fastball. Everything else has played up. Seems like the Brewers may have unlocked something here. Mike Cabello is a high upside lotto ticket. Well, let me rephrase. He's a lotto ticket, but all the skills project to be average. So the upside is really not as immense as it should be for a guy that's raw. Larry Ernesto is a J2 signing from last year with really big power. Real long, lanky kid, long arms, long legs. Probably will strike out a lot. Hopefully he can mature and build into the swing, build into the body. Mario Feliciano is a catcher with plus raw power. That's it. Defensive skills are raw. Hit tools raw. Javon Ward is a wide receiver that plays baseball. Really good plus raw power. He only hit two home runs this year, both of them were over 400 feet. What are the odds of that? So I guess when he gets hold of it, it goes. He's your prototypical slow pitch softball player, right? But he's more athletic than that. When he hits the ball, it does carry. Gonna have to worry about tapping into it. And then Marcos Duplan is an arm that's been around a lot. Was the big J2 signing with the Rangers. He is in a battle with guys like the name is escaping me right now. Adrian Hauser for swingman spots on this major league team. Pablo Abreu is a power speed outfielder. Peyton Henry is a catcher with developing power. Carlos Rodriguez is a slap hitter, leadoff hitter type. J2 signing from 2 years ago. A couple arms here: Braden Webb, Trey Supak, Adam Hill, who they picked up from the Mets, are 3, 4, 5 starters, kind of fit that profile. Tyrone Taylor. We'll end on Tyrone Taylor because there's a couple other J2 guys, but read the stuff on Prospect Live to dig deep into them. But for fantasy relevancy, we'll go to Tyrone Taylor because I think he's got a skill set this year, and it's one that's intriguing because he's hitting the ball in the air a lot. But last year, his average fly ball distance sat around 280 feet. This year, he was up over 300 feet for a majority of the season. Yes, he was in Colorado Springs, but that's 20 feet is more than just a ballpark jump. You know what I mean? That's a lot. That's a significant amount. He's a plus. He was a second round pick in 2012. If you feel like he's been around for a while, it's because he has. Low strikeout rates, developing power, really good athlete, can play center field. He was added to the 40-man this winter, and he's driving the ball, hitting the ball harder, using all fields. So Tyrone Taylor is a sleeper. I think he's like, it's one of my favorite phrases. I think he's a zombie prospect. Everyone kind of gave up on him, left him for dead, and he's back. And that's the kind of guy we're looking at here. And then I have to give one more for Mike Warner. Lucas Erceg. Yeah, he's not what we thought he was going to be. The hit tools kind of disappeared. I wouldn't be surprised. The Brewers are a progressive organization. Erceg was a closer while at college, while at Cal, until he got kicked out for academics. And then he went to Menlo. He was also a closer there, in addition to being their third baseman and hitting the middle of the order. Heavy fly ball approach and a really strong arm are pretty much the tools here. So I wouldn't be surprised if he pitches a little bit and is a bench bat that could fit here for Milwaukee. They get creative with things. I wouldn't put that past them at all. But it's not a very good system here. Not a lot of fantasy. There's a lot of fantasy guys here. Potential, but you have to dream on all of them because they all have significant warts, whether they're 17, 18 years old, some are even 16. A lot of high upside tools, but a lot of things in their way. One more guy, Felix Valerio. They got him from the Mets in that Keon Broxton trade. 319, 409, 433, 3 homers, 16 stolen bases in the Dominican Summer League. 6.9% K rate, 11% walk rate. We'll end on that. That's a nice positive guy. Short, he's going to have to earn everything. 5'7" guy, he's going to have to continue to hit, going to have to earn every promotion he gets, but so far so good. He's going to be 18 next year and should debut stateside.
All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What do you got going on, Matt?
Prospects Live, winding down our previews, going top 100 season, coming on strong over there. Dynasty ranks, Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Draft Guide. Updating that as we go. It's doing very well, so thank you for the support. We're going to keep updating that. We have the Sonny Gray trade to put in right now as we speak, so that'll be in before you click on it. And then
by the time anybody listens to this.
Right, so there we go. And then when Bryce Harper signs with the Cardinals, we'll update that too.
Yeah. Keep dreaming, buddy.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Keep dreaming.
Makes me so sad that that's not happening. But
yeah, it makes me sad he's not signing with the Giants either. But right. I mean,
he wants to win, though. So
they cut Hunter Strickland just to bring him on.
Doesn't want to get punched.
You can read all my work over at Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm. Listen to me on the Sleeper in the Bus podcast and TGFBI, as well as obviously the Friends of Fantasy Benefits podcast. That'll do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.